The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
Monday night, it's 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and of course, sandwiched in between there, it's like 9 p.m., it's like 8 p.m. The time thing messes me up all the time. I don't know. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I am your host, Chef Plum, and of course, I am also known as an expert on everything. Well, not really, but I have a microphone right now, so that makes me an expert. We're just going to go with that for now. How's your Monday night? How's life treating you? What's happening in your world? I'll tell you what, my world, things are insane, and we're going to talk a lot more about that later on in the episode here. It's a little bit different tonight, a little bit different scenario tonight. We're going to actually hang out with our guest right away first because she's a dinner party tonight that she's at. So, you know, I don't want to mess her up with that because, I mean, listen, a dinner party is way more fun than hanging out with me, I promise you. I promise you. Although, it's really exciting and very, very cool. We're going to continue our series here on beer. As tonight we have the very, very cool, Lauren Wood Salazar from New Belgium Brewing Company. She is, one of the sensory experts and the, like head of the wood, I guess. But we'll talk more about what's going on with that stuff, with me later on and all the plugs later, but we're going to get right into this interview because Lauren called in and she's ready to talk. So, which is great because I love when people are ready to talk. But let me tell you something. One of the things that blew me away today when I was doing my research on this particular company was how much this company is big. I had no idea. New Belgium Brewing is the one. I think it's the eighth largest brewery in the country, which is absolutely insane. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to the one and only Lauren Wood Salazar. Lauren, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am always good. At least I try to be. Sometimes I make it up. But right now, I just popped the top on a cold fat tire ale. I am talking to you, and I'm excited to learn more about it.
Okay, well, that's kind of easy for me because starting out at the brewery started in 1991, and this is definitely the beer that started it. I started with the brewery 6 years later in 97, and Fat Tire is kind of what personifies New Belgium. It is an unequaled act of balance, and I think that in this kind of crazy world, we're always looking for that balance. So whenever I feel a little out of balance, grabbing a Fat Tire Amber Ale is kind of what helps. Wow. It is that kind of the tripod effect of the malty caramel sweetness of grains, a little bit of that kind of spicy bitterness of hops, and that really lovely kind of fruity, the esters from the yeast. And so all three of those things kind of act in a perfect balance. I think that you would really appreciate this beer and probably do because of the culinary kind of like the culinary dovetails it would have into so many different types of food fare.
I mean, the balance alone is perfect on it. And I mean, you did great there, completely explaining that. But tell us a little bit more about what you do, because I think what you do is very interesting.
My job is I'm the wood cellar director. And so what I do is I do new product development, optimization, and I'm inside of probably one of the most beautiful cellars in America. We have 65 fooders, which is these are large, almost two-story wood vessels that hold beer. And so I literally can just walk, you know, through them. We call them, you know, we call them cache de la fooder, the cache or the storage of fooders, or we call them the woods, the forest, the fooder forest. And you walking through them, you definitely feel like a big piece. So my job is, as a sensory scientist, I taste, I analyze, I evaluate, interpret, and then do a lot of correlations with chemical analysis, and basically I create sour beer.
Nice. Now, one of the things I thought was most interesting that I read today was, and I want to get into all that stuff with the sour beer for sure, but one of the things I read today was, are you guys really the eighth largest brewery in the country?
Oh, crud. I was hoping, I will say probably.
That's crazy.
Who knows? Every day somebody's bigger, faster, stronger, falling, lesser. So it's a tough to quantify. That sounds perfect. I mean, there's craft, there's all, you know, all-encompassing all breweries, and there's what we call craft breweries as defined by the Brewers Association. And so, I mean, eight, and that's including everyone. That impresses me.
I mean, it's crazy. I had no idea. I couldn't believe when I read that. That's insane.
Where are you? Where are you right this minute?
Yeah, I'm in Connecticut, and we just recently got your product here.
Right. Okay. So my dad is from Connecticut, and he always laughs. He was like, "When you go, because we are going to become a national brand within the next year." But it is incredible. Like, you can be this like a brewery. Like, if you're in Colorado or California, you know, Georgia, people know New Belgium. They know Fat Tire. They understand the brand. But just breaching those distribution where you either distribute in a state or you do not. And so it is funny, like when you cross that state line, people are like, "Oh, Fat Tire, never heard of you." You're like, "Oh, okay."
Okay. I don't know if I've ever said that. I'll tell you what, Fat Tire is one of the ales that I remember having working one of my first restaurant jobs. One of the managers there, his name was Timmy D, great guy. This is, you know, in the 90s. He loved this beer and introduced me to it, and I've loved it ever since.
God bless Timmy D.
There you go. Shout out to Timmy D. So, I mean, you guys make a ton of beer, and being as big as you are, I mean, there must be just obviously with what you do as well. How often do you think about food when it comes to making these beers, or do your brewers think about it?
For us, when we make a beer, we have this thing called Beer Confidence, and it is a one sheeter. It has everything you need to know for all the employees, the people that are going to sell it, the people that, you know, just everybody at the brewery. Right. And we have raw materials, kind of the processes that make them, the brand story, of course, you know, how we're going to sell it. And the next thing is food pairings. And it goes with every single beer. It's never not been a part. It's always been a part of us. Understanding sure. craft beer is that, like, we understand how integral that, you know, it's when you're while you're making your food, it's while you're eating your food, while you're cleaning up after, you know, what goes great. There's beers that go great with making food, there's beers that go great with eating food, and there's beers that go great with doing the dishes.
I couldn't have been put more eloquent by anybody in the world. Honestly, that's the truth. You're right about that, but I think what we're seeing here In the see, when I talk, I'm getting a really bad echo of me talking back to you. So I'm going to mute you while I talk, and then you'll still be able to hear me. That way, we don't hear the echo. Is that cool?
Okay.
Is that
cool? Yeah.
All right. So, what we're seeing these days in the beer community and in the beer world is so many of these craft brews, micro brews coming up. Is there, being as big as you guys are, is there a difference in craft beer and micro brew? Like, is that a thing?
I would say that the difference between craft beer and microbrew, like, I think that microbrew is a term that we were using, you know, kind of early on because we were all pretty small. And I think craft is different. I think micro means volume, and craft kind of determines your soul and like the art and the love that you put into your craft. And so I definitely feel like they're mutually exclusive terms, and one really defines like how big you are, and one just defines like who you are.
Wow. I mean, that's, I guess that makes sense. I should take notes here because that's pretty good. What do you think about, I mean, you see these days in states, especially in, you know, in Colorado, I mean, where I know you guys are stationed there, but you also are in North Carolina, but here in Connecticut, you know, we're getting over 50 microbreweries now, and it's all really, really good stuff. As you guys being as big as you are, is that a threat, or is it more like, you know, you kind of like a big community, you know, because I know here it's a big community with all the guys when they kind of come together.
I think the reason why there are so many breweries and so many few entrants and so many people that have decided that they want to start and own and be part of the craft beer community is because they saw something that was super missing in their professional career, and that was the community, that was actually the passion, the you know, rising tide, something that a lot of people talk about and nobody ever really does. And I think that became so like nobody was going to miss out on that. Every engineer, every dentist, every chef. Now, I'm going to do both. But I've got to try this crap. Look at how happy these people are. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid too. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that the great part about it is the foundation of the craft brewery is inclusive. It is very nurturing and very open. And we all want to drink more great beer. And I think that the only threat is quality, and that not everybody is going to make fantastic beer. And it is your first thing that you do is you ensure quality. And the second thing you do is increase sales. And unfortunately, I think that we're seeing a very inverse effect happening where everything is just so, it's too good to be true, and we might as well gobble up, you know, all of the things that we can while we can, because they might go away, and we're kind of forgetting quality, or forgetting community, we're kind of forgetting each other a little bit. And so I hope that we can all kind of take a pause and, you know, look inward and making sure that we are in it for the right reasons. We're making the products that we're proud of, and we're making them consistently and really doing right by all the people that are expecting it from us.
Wow. How many employees do you guys have now?
A zillion. I think, you know, it's funny. I looked at, we have like an employee, we have like a counter, because it's such an important number for us because we're co-owned. So we are employee owned. And so every single employee owns our company. It's really important to keep all of us in, you know, like in our each other's minds. And we're over 800 people now.
Wow.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I think I was number like 40.
So you have tenure now.
Yeah. Well, and it's with that tenure, it's also kind of interesting because, you know, we needing to know everybody, wanting to know who the latest sales, you know, our we call them rangers, rangers, like who is the latest ranger that got hired in Connecticut? You know, I need to know these things or else, I mean, you start losing a lot of culture and that's, you know, that would be a really kind of sad thing. And if I didn't know that Matt Bronson was our market manager in Connecticut,
there you go.
It would be really good buddy bad.
a good buddy of mine, actually, Matt Bronson. I know him very well. Yep, I do, as a matter of fact. The terrible human being. You don't want to be his friend. I'm just kidding. So Nola's Chef 1975 wants to know, what's your favorite beer that you guys brew?
Oh, God. Ever or all the time?
All the time. I mean, it didn't specify, so let's just say all the time.
It's easy for me because it's what I drink Fat Tire. Because I make so many really weird beers. My job is like I'm constantly pushing the envelope of like what you can do with flavor. And so when I come home, I mean, it's all I can do to just kind of quiet everything. And Fat Tire seems to be like that. It's like my buddy. That's like it's 5 o'clock, friend.
It's a really really good beer. That's for sure.
And then after that, I would say Triple. I absolutely adore that beer. I think it's probably my favorite food beer. I can crack it open. It's the beer that if you're with a chef and you're trying to impress them, it's like a no fail. Everything goes to Triple. So they kind of, you know, chefs always think they're like, oh, wow, that's impressive. And I'm like,
Hey, listen, no matter what happens in life, Lauren, can we just make sure we always try to continue to try to impress the chef? Can we just keep that up forever, no matter what happens?
It is a daunting task, but yes, I will try.
See, I hate that. It's not a daunting task. Look, I'm a chef. I come from a world of being a cook and a dishwasher. I'm happy. I used to be happy with a PBR and a pack of Parliaments or Marlboro Lights. Like, I'm not hard to please.
Yes, chef. Yes, chef.
Can I record that and let you just tell my wife that? That would be awesome. And my three daughters. It doesn't work, though. I tried. So check it out. So, Lauren, I just popped open. I got to mute you. I'm sorry. I just popped open. I know it's not one of yours, and I want to talk more about sours, too, here in a second. I just popped a Citradelic, obviously, from you guys to taste. I've never had it. What should I expect here before I taste this beer?
What I think the greatest part about Citradelic, I think it is exactly what you said, the absolute expectation of the aroma. Because of this amazing tangerine orange, just actual blast. And that's because it's peel. It's like the same concept when you're peeling a tangerine or you're peeling an orange, you're not eating them. You're peeling them.
You're
and the essential oils that are just released into the air are so, they're all encompassing. And as you're taking the sip of, and you get the caramel, you know, the caramel malts and the Crystal and Centennial Azaka, all these hops, but it pales, you know, they just are kind of basically being ushered through by just this amazing infusion of fruit. And I think it's I think it's kind of like the pillow. I always think about it as like an IPA is somewhere inside of the pillow of this beautiful essential oil.
Wow. And let me just give my breakdown here of how I smell it and just to kind of accentuate what Lauren's talking about here. The nose on this is all citrus. I mean, tangerine, when she's talked about peeling tangerines, I mean, you can always tell someone who knows food or knows about taste and knows about flavors because as chefs, we always describe things in, you know, almost like actions or things we've done in the past or things we remember from a kid. And the nose on this, you guys, Citradelic by New Belgium, it is completely citrus. I'm getting like the tangerine thing. I haven't tasted it yet, but it's total tangerine. It smells absolutely phenomenal. Let me get a sip of this here. Mm. That's fantastic. And you know what I love the most about this, Lauren, is that it doesn't have too many people make these IPAs now and these hoppy beers to where you drink them and you almost need a glass of water after you drink it because you're still thirsty.
Yeah, and I think that's, of course, there's, you know, there used to be this war of the IBU, the International Bitterness Unit, and that's how we would define ourselves. You know, and the higher the IBU, like the better the IPA. And I think that's just not the case anymore. It really is like how much, like where do I need to balance my alcohol? Where do I need to balance the malt bill? Where do I need to balance like, you know, the fruit infusion or whatever else there is? And it just is not like this war anymore. The war was you always lost. You know, it was like, you're like, hey, I have 100 IBUs that are just literally just demolishing everything inside of my body. And I'm not, you know, it's just too aggressive. And I think that it's now that this is an IPA that actually goes with food. And this to me is so great. Like this is, we always say when in doubt, pho. and Citradelic is, That beer, we always, this is the Sunday beer. Sunday, it's like fun, Citradel.
Oh, good call on the Sunday beer. This has definitely become my football beer on Sundays. This is delicious. This is fantastic. I never had this. This is my first time ever right now. And this is delicious.
Thank you.
That's a great beer. So what got you into beer? What brought you to this world?
You know, I got really lucky. I find myself I have a very charmed and wonderful life, and I found my way to Fort Collins, Colorado, which is a utopia all in itself. That's lucky. And then I met a bunch of people that worked at New Belgium, Melise Merrill, Jen Verbier, Eric Salazar, and they brought me into New Belgium, kind of sight unseen. Without any experience, I was a geriatric social worker, and
oh wow,
I was a cook. I made soups and sauces at Cooper Smith's, which is a brew pub in town.
Makes sense.
And I needed another job, as a lot of people in their 20s do. And I got a job, and at the time, we were a small brewery, and it was all really just about, you know, bootstraps. Just the harder you work, the better, the more, you know, the more that became available to you. And it was sensory science that really kind of very much enthused me. And I went and asked Kim Jordan, our co-founder, I wanted to take a class, a brand new class that they hadn't even started really at University of California, Davis, sensory science and consumer studies. And they, New Belgium, paid for my coursework and for, you know, I actually got paid for going to school. I came back and ran the sensory program for 13 years. And that's kind of, you know, I, like I said, I'm very, very lucky.
It, you know, but it's one of those things where it's you've taken this whole thing to a completely different level, as far as even just working at New Belgium and doing what you do. And they're incredibly lucky to have you, that's for sure. But doing what you're doing, you've actually been a judge at the World Beer Cup, the Great American Beer Festival. I mean, you've done a lot with these beer festivals, which is a fun thing to do.
Being a beer judge, especially the Brewers Association puts on the Great American Beer Festival and the World Beer Cup. And those are the class acts of the whole shebang. And it's because of the acts, the professionalism and the real sensory science that kind of goes into it. It's tough. I mean, you spend 8 hours and you're really giving it your whole entire attention, and you leave and you are exhausted, you're drained, you have no more words, you have no more palate, you know, like you're done. And people, you know, especially because you do this at the Great American Beer Festival, and then you don't go to the Great American Beer Festival because you're tired, you know, so it's a little bittersweet. And after I think 13 years of judging. I now do every other year of the Great American Beer Festival, just so I could, I really missed being at the festival because you can't do both well. You can't
right.
play and judge. And so I just couldn't really, I had to say I either judge or I'm allowed to be up past 8 p.m.
Well, judging festivals is definitely hard. I've been there and been a part of it, not to the festival level that you've done, but I've been a judge at the Bacon and Beer Classic at Citi Field in New York City, and of course the New York Best Wings Festival as a beer judge. Is it tough when you do these festivals and if New Belgium is a part of it, is that like a hard thing to be, you know, not pull for your guys, obviously.
Yes, it's so if you're these competitions, everything is, you know, 3-digit blinded. You have no idea who's part of the competition. You are absolutely not allowed to judge anything that your brewery or anybody that you're associated with is part of. And there's so many, like, for instance, at the Great American Beer Festival, I think there was, you know, 250 plus IPAs. So
oh my God.
These are like 5 and 6 tables at a time working to kind of pare down the round 2 and the round 3. So to say that it's blind is very much, and people take it super seriously. There's no joking around at the table. It's very silent. And then when we do conversations, there's no, oh, this tastes like this brewery. That'll get you ejected from a table faster than you can believe.
Wow.
And if people, yeah. And I mean, we have international judges every single table for Great American and of course the World Beer Cup. If you're sitting at the table and you're judging Schwarzbier, like there's 2 Americans and 6 Germans. So it's the most fun and the most serious thing all at the same time.
I know you're right, because people don't realize how much of a serious thing that actually is. And you're absolutely right. It's very, very serious. And you know, the guys that I've worked with were definitely, it was a very serious thing when we did it. And then to have to, you know, then you come up and announce it in front of all these people, which was a lot of fun. Now, granted, I had quite a bit to drink when I'm doing it. I'm still working on the maybe not taking as big a sips or something. But if you're ever interested in taking it to a whole new level, especially with sensory, I can get you involved with judging the New York Hot Sauce Expo. And let me tell you something else. New York Hot Sauce Expo, get you involved with that. Talk about next level sensory. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And, yeah, when judges are serious, it's great. There's different levels. You know, there's the serious with themselves. When people take themselves too seriously, that's a different, I've definitely been at those festivals where it became, you know, there's like a, is this about the beer? Is this about the person? And, that's always a fine line to be like, well, while you might be the best judge in the world, there are 8 people at the table. You know, it's just a process. And, you know, I've been at a table where we've deliberated second pour, third pour, you know, you're doing 3 hours and you're like, holy
right.
cow, how serious is this?
That's great. That's fantastic. Great. So what's it take for a company like New Belgium or a smaller company to you know, take it to the next level? Last week, I had a smaller company on, a gluten-free company, which is amazing because it's a female owner. She's killing it. She's making an unbelievable, and it's gluten-free beer. She's killing it. And they were on last week. And, you know, she's very, very small. She's just now starting to get into a couple local restaurants. What's it take to take something like that, a product, even just something as, you know, a fat tire ale, from the beginning and get it into, you know, to take the next step, the next level.
It really depends on like what the level you're speaking of. Just to get to, you know, so you go to your brew pub, you go to your restaurant the second you leave your brew pub, you have to deal with shelf life. And that's a big deal. You have to deal with packaging, and you have to deal with shelf life. So packaging is a huge deal, and quality is a huge deal. So and these are the biggest things that I would say that people take a little for granted right away. They make a beer and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm fantastic. I should go professional in any, profession. And then it's really amazing how much that your packaging equipment, your packaging process, if you have air in your bottle, if you get any kind of dissolved oxygen, your shelf life, meaning like how long your beer is going to last, that's the beer that you intended, it goes away in a matter of days, depending on that and how you do it. And then, and so there's that, and then there's the concept of distribution. And I would say that once you leave your town, that's when it gets really real, And I think that
next level
if
stuff.
This is me, and I'm my next life or my past life or my whatever. And I would say, if there was a way I could stay in my 2-block area, I would do it. And I would be the best brewery that those 2 blocks had ever seen, because it just really becomes so complicated, and it becomes so complex, and you really have to depend on so many people. It's one thing, they say it takes a village to, to have a kid. It's the same thing with beer. Like you make a beer, and it's this beautiful thing, and you care for it, and you nurture it, and then you give it away. And that's distribution. Yeah. And you really have to trust in your partners, and you really to be able to say the same message, to take care of it, to give the message that you want as a company, as a brand. That's a lot. And in the meanwhile, there's, 800, 8,000 other, very important things to other people. And I think that's kind of where we're starting to show little stress cracks, is like it's too much for that distribution. Not saying that the system's wrong, it's just a lot to ask of these people, that they can't take care of every one of our most precious things in the entire world the same way that we can. And so if you can, stay local, stay relevant, stay important to you. And I would say that, gosh, that would be the greatest.
I just want to reiterate, I'm a big sip. This Citradelic is ridiculous. This is a great beer. I'm surprised you don't drink this every day. This is amazing.
Okay, don't take this. So there's the objective me, and then there's the subjective me. And the objective me knows that Citradelic is the greatest thing ever. And the subjective me just only likes to drink sours and stouts.
Oh, here we go. Which, by the way, I want to just say, hang on, because I'm going to talk a lot here, which blows my mind, because, listen, as a chef, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds. I drink a lot of beer. I drink beer because I think beer is delicious. I love beer. I'm not a big bourbon guy. I'm not a big liquor guy. I love beer. Beer is awesome. However, getting into stouts and sours, I mean, I've seen pictures of you. There's no way. It's impossible. You're in fantastic shape. You drink these beers this way. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, I'll sit here and drink this beer all night long and love the flavor and enjoy it. But when it comes down to something like a sour beer, I'm not a big fan. However, I've done two very, very big award-winning dinners with a company you might be familiar with from Connecticut now, Two Roads Brewing. Good friends of mine. We've done two award-winning dinners with them, one of which was their sour release. What is the deal with sour beers, and why don't I like them?
Okay. That's,
yeah,
I,
how about
I love
that?
This question. I know, I love this question. I think that the concept is, the word beer has so much connotation just entwined in it that it is taken on, the word beer is taken on a definition. We expect malt, we expect bitter, we expect fizzy, we expect all these things. And when it's not delivered to us, our body, in the same way, our evolutionary self, when you eat a red berry, says that's poison.
Wow.
But
wow.
When you drink coffee, when you first take a sip of beer, you're, as a kid, you're bitter is aspirin, bitter is medicine, and that's bad. And then you learn to love bitter. You learn to love chocolate. You learn to love coffee. And I think the same definition, the same kind of like evolutionary track is the same thing. And all we have to do is say, that's not exactly it. This is beer. Beer doesn't have a definition anymore. It can be sweet. It can be bitter. It can be salty. Oh God. Why? It can be,
why?
Sour. but you know, I just think that it's just understanding, because you love Granny Smith apples. You love tart cherries. You love, you know, all of these wonderful, very tart things, because tart is refreshing. In your body, you know that that's your, you know, like all of a sudden your digestive system starts, salivary glands go, your digestive tract goes. You're starting to get ready for for digestion. So wonderful. Why? And you love lemons, you love lemonade. Why wouldn't you love sour beer? Because you're not ready for it. It's not the expectation. Right. And so the second, you know, so when you start expanding your definition, when you start readying your body, and it's not, I always say, never surprise your friend with a sour beer. It's not funny. You know, like, here, try this beer.
It's not funny.
Yeah. And they're like, that's terrible. Crazy. And then the next time they're like, I never want a sour beer ever. You're like, why did you? Oh, that was a bad thing. but I think that when it's presented correctly, when you say, do you love Granny Smith apples? Do you love tart plums? Do you love, you know, can you think of almonds? Can you think of all these things? And then you give them a lawfully and they're ready, and their body is ready. Their mind is ready, and they accept it. And then they're like, wow, I do love all those things. You know, that's it, you know, and I think that we're ready for that. We're culinary explorers right now. And I think it spans liquids and everything right now. We want to try everything.
Man, I feel like we just took our relationship to the next level. That was insane. You know, I think that what you're saying, though, it kind of goes hand in hand with people who open a ice cream shop on a boardwalk of a beach, because the air is so salty. You know, it makes our body it makes our body want something sweet in the air just from walking around the beach. And that's why ice cream shops do well on the boardwalk.
That is, well, not only that, but as you know, that salt actually will make the perception of sweet more intense. So that would heighten the sense. And you're like, that was the best ice cream I've ever had.
No doubt.
Maybe.
No doubt. See, Lauren, I had to show you like, I was kind of smart. I had to show that.
It would, but isn't that the, I mean, like, wouldn't, it's like all of these things, you know, there's no, they talk about, you know, we always talk about like taste. There's no, but you, I don't like bitter. I don't like this, whatever. There's no, you can't unwrap. You can't say every experience that you have, the first time that you had sour beer, if it was in Cashola Food or in the Fooder Forest, and somebody had told you this most amazing tale about La Folie, and they brought it to you in this beautiful way, and you took a sip, and you're having the greatest time of your life, and you're in Colorado, and you're on vacation, that's going to be the best beer you ever had. And I think that's what we do as brewers, and that's what you do as a chef. Our job is not just to make something, but to deliver it in a way that makes them just experience life a little bit better, not to make the next one less, but just to constantly be able to tell someone, I had the best ice cream cone. I had the best of a beer. I had the best meal.
I mean, you can always tell people who appreciate flavor when they make comments like you just made, and you're talking about how even the environment and what you're doing can affect how much you enjoy the flavor of something or how much you like the taste of something.
Oh, yeah. I will never forget. I was in Chicago. You know, we are.
Great town.
My favorite town to eat. I was with two other guests, and we were at this restaurant. They didn't have something on the menu, and my friend was just so sad about it. And the lady was like, "All right, I'll tell you what, we might have one more." And when they brought it, and there was there was sparklers on the
oh,
tray.
Oh God!
And they brought it out, and while that was. While they were so sad, not only did they bring it to them, but there were sparklers. Can you imagine how good this was?
Yeah,
this was
I'll
hilarious
bet.
Pomp and circumstance, and the whole table was laughing. The whole restaurant was laughing, and we, you know, that they'll never have that bite again.
Right. That moment's there forever at this point. That's for sure. Like, that's never going to be forgotten or never, ever. I mean, it's going to be ingrained in our memory. All right. So listen, you've been amazing to talk to. I know you have a dinner party going on upstairs. So I want to keep it. I want to get you out of here in a second. But I got to tell you, I just opened up Pump Kick, which, of course, is the pumpkin ale by New Belgium. I poured it in my glass. Amazing nose. Tell me a little bit about this beer.
Well, first I want to tell you, you're wrong. You are much more interesting than my guest. So,
great.
Pump Kick. I think the greatest thing about this beer is trying, our assistant brewmaster, Grady Hall, just an absolute amazing feat by him. Instead of just making another pumpkin beer.
Does he have a beard?
No, he doesn't. Clean shaven.
Wow.
Strange.
Wow.
I know. Don't worry. We have our fair share of beards. when he went to make this beer, he made four, maybe six, mixtures of different flavors. And this is the one that won. And it's pumpkin, cranberry. Well, it's pumpkin. It's cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice. Sure. You got that. Cranberry and lemongrass. But then it's the cranberry and lemongrass that really I'm incredibly proud of and really think that it's really fun. The lemongrass, that really beautiful floral rose kind of fresh grass kind of scent. And then the cranberry, the tartness, I kind of think that like when you're tasting it, the concept to me is like you kind of have like this, you know, this total, like there's smooth texture, there's pumpkin maybe, but it's the pumpkin spice, but you're always reaching for like, and what else? It's almost like the full bite of a turkey dinner, you know, there's no turkey, there's cranberry, but the lemongrass to me, I think that was the great thing about it, because it just kind of tied the whole thing together, and then that's the twist that you just don't normally get, but not so much to where you're like turned off by it. It's that,
you know, it's
that
funny
because
people
put your
forget
finger on it.
People forget that pumpkin. You know, we have an idea in our head of what pumpkin tastes like. You say pumpkin spice, we all know what it tastes like. As a chef,
it tastes like,
people forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't know that pumpkin is a squash. It doesn't taste good by itself.
Well, if you cook with pumpkin, that's one thing. But if you ferment pumpkin, it's a different thing.
Oh, God.
So fermentation,
it just
pumpkin,
sounds terrible.
Pumpkin is a starch. The starch is a sugar, and it's a fermentable sugar. And so, unless you use the amount of pumpkin that we use, you're not even going to get a mouthfeel. You won't even get that textural quality of it, much less any kind of thing that you consider to be gourd. And so this takes incredible amounts of pumpkin, and we use so much. Mondays, they're pumpkin days. I mean, and you'll come in and you'll see Ken and Bill, and they're just covered head to toe. They're just absolutely orange. And this is, and then having this, but then it's, you have to add the pumpkin pie spice, but not to the point where it just becomes cinnamon. It's just, what's the point? And there are so many pumpkin beers out there. Read it, read the side, no pumpkin. It's just spice.
Right. They don't go over the actual fact that there's pumpkin in the beer.
Pumpkin is expensive, and it's the bane of brewers in existence. If you're a smaller brewery and you are roasting sugar pumpkins, and you're just like scooping them out, I've never seen brewers curse like they do when it's pumpkin season, and they all swear they're never going to make one. And then they are like, oh, and then they make one, and it's their bestseller. And they're like, oh, God.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, thoughts on this beer. It is. And I tell you, my thoughts on this beer, on the Pump Kick by New Belgium, you can put, we were talking about the whole ice cream being with the boardwalk. You can put thoughts onto something. You put like moments onto something when you taste it. And I think it's important as a chef to be able to do that. And it almost helps people understand it better. To me, this is every Thanksgiving, Lauren. I get to make the turkey with my kids in the morning. They come down, we season the turkey up together, where the kids are putting their hands into it and putting the butter underneath the turkey skin. And the flavors of this remind me of those moments of having that time with my kids on a Thanksgiving, seasoning the turkey up and putting it in the oven. This might be my first favorite pumpkin beer. Has always been Rosemary's Baby by Two Roads Brewing Company, but I think this might have just trumped it. No pun intended. Maybe we shouldn't use trumped it. This beer just beat it. How about that? I don't know.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And, you know, it's the 17th of October. If this isn't the time for pumpkin beers, gosh, I don't know what is.
Oh, absolutely. Especially here in the Northeast, which is amazing. So I could talk to you all night long. I really could sit here and talk for 3 hours about beer. You've been amazing to talk to so far. What's next for New Belgium? I mean, you guys are, you're taking over the nation here. You're in 3/4 of the country. What's next?
You know, I think for us, it's, you know, as always, every year it's trying to figure out how to, or I guess staying true to ourselves as we grow, as we expand, as we, you know, and I think that this is our 25th year. And, you know, all 25 years we've had core values and beliefs. We've had a mission statement. We have been employee owned, and we've known kind of where we're from. So it makes it a lot easier to understand where we're going. And we do it kind of like one step at a time, you know, to Connecticut, to New York. I think that it's just really trying to, like, make sure that we're not just making beers for ourselves anymore is the biggest thing, because I think that that's probably a little too myopic for a brewery our size. So we kind of have this funny thing where we're kind of making beer. We're making beer, that fantastic beer, that beer that we know people want to drink. And then we get the opportunity, because of our growth, to be able to make all these really fun beers, regional beers, you know, beers for one festival, one thing. And I think that being able to expand our wood cellar, being able to build a brewery in Asheville, and kind of bringing a whole, you know, like being able to bring our distribution and our sustainability a little bit further, kind of just makes us, I think it just kind of always makes us able to wake up and go to work doing it for us and doing it for everybody, like another day. I think this year was our 25th year. We're Kim, our co-founder, left the CEO as CEO, and it's definitely a new chapter for us. But her legacy has been so endearing and so enduring for us that it's just kind of something that will live on for many, many years to come.
Wait, time out. I want to just backtrack for one second here. I have three daughters, and I look for companies to showcase to my daughters about having, you know, women running amazing companies. Did you say your co-founder, she? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. Kim Jordan, and our CEO now, Christine Parrish, we are, wow. I would say that we, this New Belgium has been not just a very female driven, but in a very inclusive company. I mean, the reason why I'm where I am is, I hope, mostly due to myself, but 100% I can say that without the leadership and without, like, just the absolute confidence and love that has been given to me by Kim, who is my CEO, she gave me so much, and the same for all of us at New Belgium. But it's been this funny thing. I've had to answer this question a lot, like, what's it like to be a woman in the beer industry? And I was like, yeah, I always have to say, gosh, I guess I just didn't have to think about it that much. And that is a really lovely statement to be able to say, I didn't really have to think about it. I was too busy doing my job to think about whether or not it was tough for me to be a woman.
Right.
So I think that, right. That's a wonderful thing. I think every day, you know, just doing, you know, but it's not just the woman's thing at New Belgium. It really is. And it's not just at New Belgium. I would say the craft industry as a whole has been just, couldn't be a nicer group of people. All
yeah, right.
Like 800,000, I don't know, like however many we are. we're a very lovely group of people that are wonderful and welcoming. And I hope every day that more and more industries will be a lot more welcoming and just think about everybody as just what do they come and bring to the table, and what are they willing to, you know, bring to the community, instead of like, oh gosh, you know, who cares what they look like, or
right.
You know,
cool.
That day is so over. Yeah, just be cool. That day
just
is
be cool.
So over.
Like, you know, I make the comment all the time on the show when I talk to entrepreneurs and whatnot, and you guys are obviously way past that at this point, but every single person on this planet is always trying so hard to get their piece of the pie. And, you know, I believe fully and firmly in what I do, that if we just make a bigger pie, we can all have a piece.
Yeah, as we digress, you know, like for, or just pause for a moment, hopefully we all just remember that, you know, like that is the only way that any of us are going to do well is if all of us do well.
There it is. And honestly, like, I think it's also, you know, room for pause there when you say, look, Lauren, I cook food and make dick jokes for a living. You make beer. These are all fun things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take myself that seriously. Don't get me wrong.
I know, and it's amazing that we haven't cursed at all in this episode, and we're fully allowed to curse as much as we want.
You didn't tell me in the beginning. Well, fuck.
I know. I'm an asshole, and let me tell you why. Because I have Connoisseur Media wants to take this show and do something with it. So I'm trying to do less cursing on the show, but it's really hard because I'm a chef, and I'm a horrendous human being.
I take the word back. Well, I for me... Well, you have children. You know, I can filter. I cannot filter. I'm really fantastic at that. I never want to be the first. I never want to be the one like, oh, thanks, Lauren. This is what my daughter just said. That's never going to be me.
Okay. Well, listen, you've been phenomenal to talk to. I really enjoyed this conversation. I've kept you on away from your dinner party from way too long as it is. Are you in Colorado or are you in North Carolina?
I'm in Colorado, Fort Collins, Fort Fun.
Okay, Fort Fun. So awesome. So there's a really good chance here as the spring gets closer, I'll be in Colorado. I'd love to come hang out. I do a show with Edible Magazine. And I'd love to come taste beer with you.
I would love it. You're 100% welcome and invited.
And I'm way more funny when there's not like microphones on and stuff, I promise. I'll cook for you guys. It'll be awesome.
That's great. And I will make you beer.
Oh, I love it. Hey, final thought really quick. Any kind of young entrepreneurs out there, we have a lot of young people to check this show out. What would be your biggest piece of advice?
In life or in the beer industry?
Yeah, whatever you like that. I mean, you call it life. You've been very successful. You have an amazing job and doing great stuff. Like, what do you think? Like, what would be the best thing you would tell them?
I think that the same thing is true, that always is that, like, for now and forever, the only way that you're ever going to excel at something is if you have passion. And the only way, when they talk, people talk about work ethic all the time, but it's not that, it's passion. The only thing you're ever going to have work ethic about is something that you're wildly passionate about. And that extends over your whole life. So don't waste work. Like your work is extension of that too. So if you don't feel it, find it.
Wow. That's phenomenal. I could talk to you for another hour. We have to do this again because I could talk to you forever about tasting beer. I still have two beers I haven't tasted yet with you.
Yay. All right. That's next time. Well, at least you don't have to think about what we're going to do next show.
That's right. Hey, you never know. Maybe we can do it live. That'd be incredible. Lauren, you guys are you're awesome. Your company is awesome. You can follow these guys on Instagram at New Belgium Brewing. Do you have a personal Instagram you want to promote or no?
I don't. I'm one of those people that I decided not to, and I'm sticking by it. I watched my Harry through other Twitter.
Well, good for you, because you have a lot of people talking to you right now on social media. They're trying to find you. I'm getting messages right now. What's her Instagram? Well, good for you.
We definitely have the New Belgium Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and and all my friends will tell me all about it.
Well, there you go. Lauren, you've been fantastic to talk to. I want to keep talking to you, but I just saw what time it is. I'm sure your dentists think you hate them. And it's my fault, and I apologize, but thank you for your time this evening. I'm going to finish up. I have three more sips of my pumpkin beer here, and then I'm going to have some more Citradella because I had no idea it's that good.
I'm glad. It makes me so happy to turn people on to beer and otherwise.
There's a joke there. I'm not going to say it, though. We just met.
Yeah, I know that.
Lauren, thank you for your time tonight, and have a great night, okay?
Good night, Chef.
Thank you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wow. How about that, guys? That was freaking awesome. That was a great conversation. Lauren Woods Salazar from New Belgium Brewing Company, the eighth largest brewery in the United States. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was slightly nervous. I'm like, what the fuck? I got to figure out what to talk to her about. I don't know. Check it out, you guys. I am going. That was dope. Check it out, you guys. I am going to play a quick tune. I'm going to pour myself one more beer, and I want to get back here. I want to talk to you guys a little bit more about making television before we get on down the road. Because I tell you what, maybe I won't, because it's a great ass. It's been a good show as it is. Maybe we should just leave it alone. I mean, we went right into her. We talked to Lauren for a very, very long time, so I don't know. Hang tight, guys. I'll be right back. You're checking out Plum Love Foods. Oh, you know what? We're going to come back and do What Did You Learn? That's what we're going to do. Sponsored by Ergo Chef. Hang tight, guys. We'll be right back. You're checking out Plum Love Foods live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, iTunes, and wherever else you find all of your fantastic radio shows and podcasts. Check it out. This is Far Behind. My friends, I can't even talk. I'm so blown away to drink this beer. By my friend Social Distortion. Hang tight, guys. Here we go.
With friends like you, who needs enemies? You ain't right, you ain't never gonna be. You're out of the car, I'm afraid you've been the incline. You shake my hand while you're pissing on my leg. I'm cutting you loose, I don't need this misery. Your soul is toxic, you ain't no friend now.
That's a great song. I love that song. Social Distortion, amazing band. Wow. What a great interview with Lauren Wood Salazar from New Belgium Brewing Company. These guys are fantastic. I tell you what, I thought it would be fun to sit here and taste beers and talk to Lauren about that. And we got to do some of that with Citradelic, an amazing beer. The pumpkin beer, which also is very, very good. I was enjoying all of that stuff and her conversation. You know, I tell you, when these guys... When I got these guys on the show, I was excited. I, honest to God, had no idea how big they are. This is the 8th largest brewery in the country, the 4th largest craft brewery in the country. And they were just on this very program talking about what they do. And as a guy who loves beer, I truly appreciate that. So big shout out to my friends at New Belgium Brewing Company. Just made some brand new friends for sure because I'm there with them for life. Thank you, Lauren, for coming on. I appreciate it for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about the segment. I'm going to do it solo tonight because I didn't want to ask Lauren to do it because, I mean, she literally was having a dinner party while she was talking to me. She went down to her basement or in her garage and did the interview. So, you know, I don't want to bother her too much, but let's play What Did You Learn by my good friends at Ergo Chef Knives. I tried the brand new shape of cutlery. They're going to brand new knife coming out. These guys have some amazing stuff going on. You can check out, of course, the Michael Simon series by Ergo Shape Knife, the brand new shape of cutlery. These guys are giving us the new shape of what we learned this evening. Check it out. Tonight, I learned that tasting beer is much like having things happen in your life, like events. They think about beer taste the same way I think about when I make food flavors to make you relive moments in your life. So that's pretty amazing. I also learned tonight that making pumpkin beer is very, very expensive. I had no idea about that, which is something new. It's not very funny when I get it, but it's the truth. I had no idea making pumpkin beer is expensive. Number three, and again, slightly serious, but I mean this. It's awesome, especially for a father of three daughters. You know, I completely unintentional having these guys on tonight, and of course, our friend Taylor last week from Church Owl Beer. Two large beer companies that are run by women. I think that's amazing. So I learned that New Belgium has their CEO is a woman. I think that is awesome. Absolutely incredible. No matter what happens in the election this year, trust me, I don't like either one of them. I wish we could celebrate the fact that we're having a female president, but it's all being completely looked over. But we can celebrate having females in, as CEOs of beer companies. And that, my friends, is absolutely outstanding. You know, listen, I had a couple of things I want to talk about tonight, but this interview with Lauren Wood Salazar from New Belgium Brewing went much longer than I thought. And it was a fantastic interview and a lot of information there. So I think I'm probably going to go ahead and call it a wrap and finish it up. Guys, check it out. You can follow me on them Twitters at Chef _ Plum and on them Instagrams at Chef _ Plum. And also, ladies and gentlemen, please, if you haven't done yet, it's huge for the algorithm. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this very program. If you subscribe, it will be in your inbox, and not your inbox, in your podcast box, whatever the fuck we call that. It'll be there Tuesday morning, bright and early. Brand new, fresh episode. If you missed it live, it will be there for you for free Tuesday morning. Check it out while you're doing your prep work. Check it out while you're cleaning your kitchen. Whatever you got going on, please do rate, review, and subscribe. I want to throw a big, big, big shout out to our friends, our new friends over at New Belgium Brewing Company. Thank you, Lauren Wood Salazar, for coming on and talking about the beer. Amazing beer. Love it to death. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life comes from food. Let's make sure that we give it the time it deserves. See you next week, guys. Thank you. Keep your pecker up.